It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención, classes and sessions. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leaders. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teach you everything you learn from the
y ora y aplica tiempo para Dios ve hace una cita escritura dinamita morenos y hispanos israelita oye cómo explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour. Learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history.
I'm just saying. Serio? Serio? Shalom, shalom. Welcome again, another Power Hour Plus.
Hey.
That's right.
I'm his Officer Izakar. I'm here with
Officer Zara,
Officer Shia,
Officer Tobias.
Shalom to everybody. Deacon is out of the time. All praise to the Most High. We are going to get into something.
Hey, bro. Hey, real quick though. I was looking on a social media group and so I saw the ad for the Power Hour, right?
Uh-huh.
And so Deacon was on that ad. It's all like, oh man, people about to log in and be bamboozled.
We're gonna give you a good show. You know, we're excited to be here. That's one thing that to really, you know, pick the because I was listening to some of them this week. You know, I don't get to see everything there in the week, but I saw what was it, Deacon from Oklahoma, Abiel. Oh my gosh, I was laughing. So, you know, I don't know what it is. I think it's this month. It's just a season of getting into pastors.
Right.
So that's what we're going to do.
You know, it's the holy war.
We got to go into them because, I mean, they got the bliss going on Sunday. I'll praise to the Most High. We got classes going on. I mean, I've been putting, even in Spanish, I maybe go into this because so many pastors have lied to us.
Right.
For mm-hmm. so many years. And we took that as truth, even from the time of when we were under the conquistadores,
mm-hmm.
under the English, under the France, all those religions that came with those boats. Guess what? We were bamboozled, and it came to a point where we got those days off on Sundays
mm-hmm.
and Christmas and Easter. And these so-called holidays that we started to enjoy it. And it's so much that, guess what? The people that are against us as Israelites are our own people.
Exactly.
That's who fight the most. Guess what? When we talk about the pastors, they're not coming against us. They're not talking against us when it's the other nation's pastors. Mm-hmm. But it's our people in the streets. In the churches, they're coming against us. Why? Because they love that thing. That's a Stockholm syndrome that they have.
That is Stockholm syndrome. Exactly. Yes, sir.
Look at that. That's Stockholm syndrome to the max because they're defending something. The same religion that got beaten into your back. Guess what?
It's the same religion you're fighting over.
You're fighting for it. Mm. You're fighting for it, and it's going to kill you. I was looking at a image of a shirt and And it was the image of La Virgen de Guadalupe, the Virgin Mary, right?
Right.
Translation,
Virgin Mary, please.
And but it had two flags on the bottom. It had the American flag and the Mexican flag. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I said,
damn,
that's the reason why Mexicans would not go into the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
Because that image, that image is to the so-called Mexicanos, which are the Mexicans, that image right there alone is more important to them than the white image of Jesus.
Right.
I'm not saying that one is better than the other, but because they pray to that one and they always talking about it and they represent it, they put it in their art, they put it in their T-shirts and everything. Those things are the one that's destroying our people the most. I'll go ahead and put that up, the Stockholm Syndrome. Go ahead and read that for us, so you understand that where it came from and what it means, right?
Stockholm Syndrome is a coping mechanism to captive or abusive situation.
To a captive
or abusive situation. People develop positive feelings toward their captors or abusers over time. This condition applies to situations including child abuse, coach athlete abuse, relationships, relationship abuse, and sex trafficking.
So what happened?
Deuteronomy 28. Right
there. What happened in slavery to us, we got beat down, we got destroyed, and we got changed to the point that, guess what, we love our oppressors now.
Mm-hmm.
The same person that gave us scars, we look up to them. When remember that movie, Undercover Brother? What was the kryptonite of the black man?
Sending the white woman.
The white woman. It was the white woman. He fell in love. He fell in love, right? That's what it was. And the same thing goes with the black woman. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And you Hispanics don't fall behind either.
They're actually making war against us. I was watching Doctor Strange, and it's a little different from what a Stockholm Syndrome. But now they're also making – so they've been pushing the Sodom agenda heavy, right? And it started off with Southern Kingdom heavy. Now, if you watch the new Doctor Strange movie, now it's the Southern Kingdom. I'm sorry, the Northern Kingdom little girl that has two moms, and they put, yeah, we're gonna find your moms. Don't worry, bro. And her name is America Chavez, Northern Kingdom girl, bro. It's the war is on, brothers and sisters. The war is on.
Yeah, get that in Deuteronomy 28. Those who are new to the show or that have not heard about the Israelites, and you just are tuning in right now, this is the critical point or the main point why the black Hispanics and the Americans have lost their identity and have to come back to their identity in the scriptures. Read.
You want verse 15?
Yeah, do 15. Let's do 15.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
So it's saying here that the people of the Bible, which is the Israelites that is speaking, Moses is speaking to right here, if they do not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes, that all these curses shall come upon thee. So you ever wonder, because people think that. They're like, well, how come? There was one person that I remember hearing him. I can't remember who it was. If he had one question to ask God, what would he ask him? He said, why do blacks always get the short end of the stick? In other words,
damn,
why are they always in curses or why are they always in trouble?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we have to go to the Bible to get that answer. Because guess what? We are all God's creation. But we are not all God's children. I'm going to say that again. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Meaning, guess what? Not everybody is chosen. Hold that. Give me Daniel 7 and 25, because I'm going to show you something in the scriptures, because this is the curses on there. And one of the curses was that, you know what? Give me 64. I'm sorry. Give me Daniel and give me 64.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 64. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods.
So this scattering has a lot to do with also the religion. When you're going to worship other gods, wood and stone, are the religions that you are professing now to be your salvation. Whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Christianity, whether you're a Catholic, all these religions in the Bible that use the Bible in the words, that use the Bible but do not follow the Bible, those are the ones that are leading you to death, believe it or not. Let's go to the
Book of Daniel, chapter 7 and verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
The question is who is the he? You're going to find out. Go ahead and read. Continue reading.
And think to change times and laws.
Start it over again. They missed that.
Daniel 7 and verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High.
Who is speaking against the Bible? Who is doing things against the Bible? Who is passing laws? Who is allowing these things to happen on earth?
Who's saying that that God is white, Adam is white, Christ is white, angels are white? Who's saying that? Who speaks against God to change the image? You got to have a level of a pomp, a level
pride.
Of pride. Thank you. Yep. A level of pride, arrogancy to say, I'm going to go against God, and I'm going to say I'm the Egyptians. I'm going to say I'm the holy people. I'm Israel. I'm going to say I look like the angels. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I'm everybody. You gotta have some serious pride. That's your death wish.
Yep.
To say, mm-hmm. I look like God. God looks like me.
And thing too, now that we have the LGBTQ agenda, that's another thing that happens.
Right.
Right. Who said it's okay for a man and a man to marry, or a woman and a woman to be married?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people, they voted.
Mm-hmm.
They voted, and so it happened. You know, we don't have control of it.
No. What do they say? My body, my choice.
These are the same swear on the Bible when they get inauguration, right?
Yep.
When they get into the office. These are the same people that say that we're a nation under God. These are the same people that said that Christianity was the foundation of this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. But guess what? All of a sudden, they're not taking accountability for what they're doing.
Right.
Because guess what? You're going to understand who America is. Go ahead and read.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws.
So they're going to wear out the saints. These saints are the Israelites, the black Hispanics and Americans. When the blacks came here in slavery, when they began to work the fields and learn a new language and a new culture, a new religion, they begin to be worn out. They start to become blacks, Negroes. They became to be African Americans, a new name, a new religion, a new custom, and they no longer follow the old laws of the Bible. They no longer follow the commandments. They no longer follow these things. Now they're following these religions. So that has to do a lot with today's, because the majority of the people that are in churches now, they're the black and Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
They're the black. We're the ones that guess what, in their paying our tithes and our offerings and doing all these things. Did you finish that?
No, sir.
Go ahead, please.
And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time.
This time right here is talking about 350 years from 1619. To 1969. What happened in 1969? America began to fall. How? Because we started preaching that we, the black Hispanics and Native Americans, are the biblical Israelites.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's why we're here today, to show you what's happening in the community of the black Hispanics and Americans, because that's a big community. But what do they do? What do? They divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Divide and conquer to separate us, right? Through religion, through languages, through slavery, through and they don't teach the black Hispanics both went into slavery. They don't teach that in high school, junior high, elementary.
Right.
They don't teach those things. So we're going to show today. I want to show the video so we can kind of go into what happened here, because there's a lot more to this. There's so many questions arise. This is the Brooklyn pastor, and let's just play the video and see what happens.
I remember the title of the class is Pimpin' May Easy, right?
Pimpin'
May Easy, right? Because, you know, a lot of people, like all the pimps, know they say pimpin' is not easy.
Yeah.
But with pastors, pimpin' is made easy when you're a pulpit preacher, right?
Yeah. Pimpin', in other words, pimpin' in the pulpit, you know?
Pimpin'. Make sure y'all full screen.
Got the system down.
Well, a bishop in Brooklyn was robbed at gunpoint right in the middle of delivering his Sunday sermon. This was yesterday. So the frightening encounter was all caught on the church's live stream.
And tonight, the bishop is telling us what was going through his mind as it all unfolded. Arthur Chan in the newsroom now with what he had to say. Arthur.
Glory, Steve. This sermon taking place yesterday, the bishop was asking his congregation if they've ever lost faith after seeing someone die. Seconds later, masked gunmen were in their faces and nobody knew if it was a robbery or if they were about to experience a mass shooting.
Yo. All right.
While delivering a Sunday sermon on a live stream, three masked gunmen are seen storming the Leaders of Tomorrow International Ministries in Brooklyn, forcing Bishop Lamar Whitehead to the ground. He says a gun was even pointed in the face of his eight-month-old daughter.
Women and children started to scream, and they put the gun, they came, put the gun to my back, and they put the gun to my daughter's face. This is atrocious. Right? For men to come in at during service and lay the entire church down at gunpoint.
The bishop says the gunmen stole more than $1 million worth of jewelry and gems, including expensive watches and even his wedding band. While the sermon was going out live from the second floor of this building, some congregants were there in person.
It's threatening for the people that come to church that day. It's horrible.
Whitehead once served 5 years in prison for identity theft and grand larceny. In his current life, he is known for his opulent flashiness and claims to be a mentee of Mayor Eric Adams. The bishop recently attempted negotiating the surrender of Q-Train murder suspect Andrew Abdullah and showed up at the police precinct in a $400,000 Rolls Royce, but the NYPD took Abdullah into custody on their own. Now, the bishop is offering a $50,000 reward for the arrest of the gunmen who robbed him, urging them to turn themselves in.
I'm praying for them, but I want justice to be prevailed because they can't just run into these churches like this, man. If you could run into the church, you can run anywhere.
Now, it's unclear tonight if the suspects knew their armed robbery was being filmed, including them getting into a white Mercedes and taking off. Regardless, the bishop says he will continue to hold services. As of right now, no arrests have been made.
Well, a bishop...
Bro, $1 million. Bro, this guy right here, I'm not lying. He's making, like, you know these pastors, we're going to look them up, but these pastors have money, right?
Damn. Bro, how his wife and him just only got $1 million in jewelry just that day?
Yeah.
Bro, ain't no telling what else he got just sitting at home, bro.
What's he buying? Because guess what? I mean, right now, what the lottery is like a million or something like that?
A billion. I think it hit a billion.
Okay. So, and... Think back when we got this our little stimmies. Believe it or not, the stimmies were a social experiment.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to know what the if things got rough, tough, and we had a shutdown. They want to know what the Black and Hispanic or Native Americans are spending their money on.
Yeah. Yo, not only that, the PPP, a lot of people started getting arrested because everybody, all of a sudden, everybody has businesses now. So they started getting PPP loans. So it was like now they're doing a lot of arrests because those were under false, just people getting money.
Yeah. Before we get into the $1 million jewelry and what you spend your money on there, think about the people. Guess what? Believe it or not, they're looking at the general population, but they're looking at the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know how serious these Negroes are.
This was in New York?
New York. This is recently.
Yeah, recently, last week.
So New York, this is in New York last week, right? And I kind of saw it and I didn't pay full attention, but you still got brothers and sisters out there in the hood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Streets are dirty.
Right.
They're not, like, for example, we do community cleanup. To show an example, we can do more things better. We can have a better mindset. We can live better, brothers. Let's show an example. Let's go out there and clean the community. Not only do we out in the streets teaching people, hey, you wicked as hell, you need to repent, but also, hey, We're here to clean up the community physically. And then you got pimping pastors pulling up on the Rolls Royce saying, like, nah, we good.
Yeah.
We all good in the hood. Still come to my church.
Yep.
And there's no change being made in the community.
Exactly.
Community's still dirty. He can rent some equipment. He can rent, I don't know, what have you. People buy brooms and, hey, let's go clean out the community.
Yep.
But no, it's not about that. It's about me, myself, and I and what I need. The hell with the people.
This man.
Damn.
Find a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
A legal hustle. Because there's another thing. Where I think he got in trouble. If I'm not correct, I wanted to find that video that I was listening to, but he got in trouble.
In the past.
In the past.
They mentioned it.
Yeah, they mentioned it. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. He got passed in the past, but he was locked up.
Yep.
For being crooked in the world, but now he's crooked in the street, and it's illegal. It's a legal gig. This brother right here found a way, a loophole.
Why pimp in the streets when you can pimp in the church?
I know. Pimp, you know, get that money.
Pimping.
And he said, you know what? I like nice clothes. Did you see the nice clothes that he has?
Bro, there's another video of him. Hey, play that other video real quick.
That brother look glossy and everything.
Yeah,
bro, look at that.
Damn. Hey, put that full screen.
He be taking the money, man. you telling me that nobody in the church is saying anything about this?
Come on. Hey, the brother's Gucci'd up, Fendi out, man.
See the glasses?
Hey, bro, he got probably brands that we ain't never heard of,
bro. His brother's Levi, bro. He never had nothing, bro. He never had nothing in his life, you know?
Yeah, look at that leather in that car, bro.
He grew up eating dirt patties, so, you know, he... So, you know, now he said, you know what? I'm in the Golden Gates of America. Guess what? I'm going to get my paper.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Say that right there. Play with those.
Hey, this is him and his wife. Watch.
Look at this.
Look at that
jewelry,
bro.
Pause it. Look at that big ring on her finger.
Damn. Yo, peanut butter inside.
Man.
That's
no
a coconut way. Right there.
Dang.
Ain't no telling how much the wig costs.
Bruh.
look at that. Exactly. I didn't notice the ring, but look at the ring. That's a huge ring, bro.
Those glasses probably cost more than
that.
Hey,
put it on the screen, though. You guys got to put it on the screen. Leave it up on the screen. We don't want to see ourselves. We want the people to see the...
Go ahead, play it.
Play.
That's, bro, stop. You know what car that is? That's the Lamborghini SUV, bro. That thing is like new. That thing is like 2022.
I've never seen that in my life.
Because that's new. Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry. Wow.
Then with the red bottoms?
Yeah, we back. Mr. Whitehead.
Look at the jury.
Dr. Whitehead Estate.
Pause it. Hey, go back just a tad bit, bro. Once you look at the ring on him, all the jewelry got
pay hustles. Damn.
Ooh, look at that. That ring.
Man, look at that big jewel, bro. We ain't never seen that. Go ahead.
I think I saw in the Raiders.
Wait. That justifies him because, you know what? If he's Levi, you know, he has to have the jewelry and the precious stones, bro, but he doesn't have it on the blessed plate no more. He has it on the fingers, bro. Yeah. Now he's Thanos, bro.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Listen, I'm telling y'all, join my real estate class. It's starting February the 5th. I'm going to show you how to buy and flip, how to buy complexes, apartment complexes, renovating, and first and foremost, understand that God did it.
Hey, pause it. So look, he also does real estate classes on the side, right? And so you think about it. How much is he charging people to get in those classes? Let's say if he is, right?
Bro,
ain't
they're
no
expensive,
telling about that, right?
Bro.
They're
real
expensive.
Classes
are expensive.
Real estate classes, are like, you go on TikTok, bro, there's courses on everything. People are like, you know, I'll teach you how to do X, Y, and Z. I'll teach you how to do that, bro. And some of the, bro, there's $10 courses or $10,000 seminars that only talk about leadership. That's all they talk about, leadership. And I was thinking about that the other day, and we get that for free.
Mm-hmm.
Why and how? Through the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
through our leadership, that go over classes about brothers, be a better husband. Brothers, be a better leader. Brothers, be a better example. Work. You can't marry if you're not working. But then there's heathen, and heathen out there, and our people charging $10,000 for a seminar on just leadership, bro.
And you can see he don't even need the money, bro.
Mm, damn.
He don't even need the money, for real.
Bruh.
Finish this video, man. I want to see this. Suicide doors?
Hold
up.
Y'all come out to vote. Early voting has just started.
Look at that machine, bro.
I will not lose. Bishop, Apostle, you are not ready.
God bless you. God bless you. This is Bishop Lamar Miller Whitehead. And yes, I need y'all to sign up for the real estate classes.
Where do you get a Pete Vinny from, bro?
What's up, y'all? What's up?
Bro, this all his car has suicide doors? Bro.
All the rules. He's just rolling their rims.
At the Whitehead Estates, man.
Hey, Brett.
Wow. Hey, you had something, bro? Cause I
do.
I got to cover the bishop. But go ahead and do your thing. I got to cover the bishop. Because he said he called himself a bishop, man. He called himself a bishop. Now, guess what? We pray for a brother. We love our brother. But guess what? We're going to get on to that brother, man. Because, I mean, come on. If you know, we can already, just by looking at him, we can tell by a brother's.
A man might be known by his look.
By his look, yeah. His countenance, mm-hmm. How he rose, you know, where he put his money at, too. Go ahead. What you have?
Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1.
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not.
We have received this ministry. We have also received mercy through the Lord Christ. Come on.
But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty.
We are renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. This is how. Go ahead.
Not walking in crafty.
And this is what this brother's doing. Hey, join my real estate program. Y'all can make a hustle. Y'all can flip houses. Look, I'm not saying that's not bad, right? But, bro, if your congregation is in sin, if you're being sought out after because you have jewelry and they want to steal from you, there's something that you're not doing right. Go ahead.
Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
This is what I wanted. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Pimpin' pastor is saying, join my real estate classes. Mm-hmm. But he's not saying, hey, brothers, stop hoeing the sisters. Hey, sisters, put on a dress. He's handling the word of God deceitfully. Why? Because he does it for his benefit. Go ahead.
But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
But by manifestation of the truth, which is the God's commandments, we have that manifestation. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Go ahead. That's all I got.
Hey, I got a scripture. Micah 3 and 11.
Oh, you going there already? Oh, bringing that fire out already.
Yeah, Micah 3 and 11. Let's get it.
This brother, man. Pippin.
The book of Micah, chapter 3 and verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward.
So that's what the pastors do. They judge for reward, right? They're going to make judgment pretty based off of money, right? Make wrong decisions. They ain't going to make the correct, righteous judgment. Read.
And the priests thereof teach for a hire.
You see, that's what he doing. Like all the TD Jakes or all the Creflo Dollars, right? You want them to come to your church, right, to teach. Maybe for an hour, right? They charge maybe $50,000, $20,000 just to teach, right?
It's like $7,000 for, no, not even that. I think it's $7,000 for like the middle of, what's his name, the Edomite?
Joel Osteen,
though, yeah.
$7,000 for like the middle seats, bro.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So look, that's what these people do, man. They teach for hire, for money. That's what they're all about, right? So all praise to the Most High. We have this truth to know what tithing is, right? And you see what our leaders are doing, right? They don't go to another country for money. You know, they take a plane ticket, right? Sitting in the commercial, right?
Yep.
They don't take a first class.
They don't take private. Yeah, private jets.
Exactly. So all praise to the Most High. Go ahead. Yeah,
Lord will, if we do it one day, we'll have it. But we're not going to be going places to not preach the gospel. That's the whole point. We are traveling and going to these places to guess what? To get our people to repent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, because he calls himself a bishop, because I'm telling you, when you start putting titles on you, it's very heavy. Give me 1 Timothy 3. because we got to understand what a requirement of a bishop is. He calls himself a bishop. And guess what? And don't think that we just prejudging this, brother. We could already tell by seeing the people in the congregation, the color of his wife's hair, him shaving, mm-hmm. him not wearing fringes, him having a Sunday school, all these things that he's doing that are not biblical, that are commandments to do, or he's not doing these things. We already can tell that he's not keeping his commandments. Okay, go ahead and read.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work.
So if you desire to be a bishop or called a bishop, you desire a good thing. But let's see what the requirements are. Go ahead, read.
A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach.
Apt to teach, meaning guess what? If you ain't coming with the scriptures and you ready that you ain't teaching the scriptures, it's talking about teaching of the scriptures of keeping the commandments. It's not talking about the teaching of a real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm saying, we said, we're not saying you can't do that, but that shouldn't be your main office. Your
right.
main office should be these scriptures. Go ahead and read. This is the point I want right here.
Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, not covetous.
Not greedy. This brother right here is greedy. He don't. We just looking at him. Well, he's spending the money he's spending, and then he's showing these videos and stuff. Guess what?
There's cars.
One car can help a whole family, right?
Yeah, a whole block, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm sorry. I don't like big cities. When we go to, like, men's conference, Passovers, and it's, like, in Chicago, it's in Philadelphia. Bro, it's so crowded. You got to pay for parking. I'm sorry, y'all. For my brothers and sisters that live out there in big cities, LA too, it's all crowded, right?
Mm-hmm.
But bro, they live right on top of each other, and these are little small apartments, bro. You can help out a brother's real estate, a brothers and sisters. Hey, let's get some money together to do house, bro. Yeah. There's brothers and sisters struggling to pay their bills out there. Mm-hmm. Rent is expensive, bro.
Right.
One of his cars exactly can pay the rent for a whole month. Everybody, his congregation or something.
And,
exactly.
And guess what? We're not against nice things. We're not against
right.
But when you get robbed and the net of your jewelry is $1 million between your wife, what are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you doing with the people around you that you had to spend $1 million? That means, guess what? Your house costs more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, guess what? They still have that Negro mindset where you got a nice car, you got nice jewelry, but you live in a busted apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Or people do that.
Right.
Our people,
the hell is this?
They live, they got all these brand new cars behind the payments, but they got no place to live.
So Officer Tobias said, was heavy. He said, it might be rentals, and it might be real rentals to show something that he doesn't have. But, hey, join my classes, my real estate classes, because you can be where I'm at, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't me. This was all
teaching.
Right. This wasn't me. This was all God. Let's praise God. Join my real estate classes. I can show you how to flip. I can show you how to did it. Bro, damn.
So go ahead and read. Can you read?
Verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
So we have to know that, guess what? When we start preparing our, you could tell a man the way he rolls if you just see a pastor. I don't have to look at his house because he's not rolling his house right, because he's not rolling right in the spirit in the church. We know that. We see that the way the church is rolling, and I think, you know, for me, I think this was a insurance fraud or something like that, because if you notice, go back in the video a little bit. I want to show you something real quick before I forget. Go back in the first video we watched, and then
where they're robbing him.
They're robbing him, and just go right when that guy's in the back, and then they start coming in.
Yeah, because the guy in the back didn't do nothing.
He didn't move, bro. Mm-hmm. Somebody rolls up in my house with guns. Guess what? I'm hitting the floor,
right,
bro.
Right there. Right. Go back a little. Go a little bit. Right there. Right there. Full screen. Go ahead.
Three masked gunmen are seen storming the leaders of tomorrow.
Calm and collected.
This guy
that
right there.
That chilling, bro. They had their guns out. Yo, this guy did not flinch. He just said, like, you know what? This is part of the game. They told me already about it. You know what I mean? They didn't tell him to act or anything, I guess. I don't know. But, man, it looked like, and then somehow the camera got moved and the whole thing didn't get seen. You know what I mean? But it's like, come on, man. I mean, that's what I think. But, you know, for like, and I'm saying that because that's what a lot of people do that. They'll buy stuff. They know behind, like, what can I do? I spend so much money in here, and guess what? The only thing that I got that I have insurance on it is my jewelry. I got insurance. I think people that make that much money put insurance on their jewelry.
Yep. Yeah, some people were saying that could have been an insurance scam, you know. So
yeah, and the thing is with the insurance scam is typically what they do is, let's say a jewelry, you buy the jewelry, and let's say it's $1 million, but that jewelry really is only worth about $600. You bought it at a high price.
You financed it
and whatever it is. Yeah. But then you go around and you finance, you insure it for $2 million. So you understand?
You came on the come up.
So you come up. So when they steal it, guess what?
He said, creeping on the come
up. You know what I mean? That's a rich person mentality.
And
a crooked rich man.
Do you guys know if there's one more than one person, or was there multiple?
I think there was two.
I think there was two.
Because, like we're saying, this guy right here is chilling, right? He's cool, calm, and collected. When you listen to, listening to the actual video when it was happening, it was supposed to be, or it's supposed to be a serious thing because nobody move. And this guy's chilling, bro. Get on the ground, what have you. The pastor got on the ground. This guy right here on the left, he's chilling, bro.
Mm-hmm.
He's chilling, so.
And this is a product, too, of these people knew who they were coming for, the pastor and the wife. Why? Because of the pastor always flashing all everything that he has, his clothes, his cars on social media. So he was an easy target, right? Give me that scripture, the Sirach 19:29, because Officer Issachar said a man might be known by his looks. Let's get that scripture for the new people that's on here, too.
The book of Sirach, chapter 19, and verse 29. A man may be known by his look, and one that hath understanding by his countenance, when thou meetest him.
Hey, it's plain and simple, because you know how you meet a dude that's like in the street somewhere, right? And he wearing, like, you know, dressing effeminate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not even just wearing a dress, but maybe a little tight clothes here and there. You can kind of tell that he has a feminine spirit, anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the scriptures let you know, that a man might be known by his look.
You know a man in the streets when he's doing some type of hustle, he's about his money, because the way he walks, his money, his clothing.
Right.
His speech. He's talking about, he's always thinking about I'm going to get...
Making moves.
How to make moves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, today I got 10,000. Tomorrow I need to get 50. How am I going to do that? Okay, you can't like, hey, let's hang out now. I ain't about that. If it ain't about hustle, and I ain't trying to do all that.
What do you do for a living? A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And so the scripture says you may know a man by his look. You know this guy's not about God. You can tell right away this guy's not about God. This guy's about himself, bro. All right.
Can you get Psalm 73?
Mm-hmm. 73 and 12. Money and Flossy, bro. I actually like some of his gear, but you know what I mean? it's nice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, brother
went out, you know what I mean? But he's spending the church's money on his outfits.
Right.
73 and?
Verse 12.
The book of Psalms, chapter 73, verse 12.
Yeah.
Behold.
He said, behold, look. Take a look and see what you're actually looking at, Reed.
These are the ungodly who prosper in the world.
These are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Though he has these riches, these carnal things, the nice car, the nice clothes, the nice glasses. These are the ungodly who prosper in the world, Reed.
They increase in riches.
They increase in riches. You see them. How come they're prosper? It looks like they're successful, but they're going to have a rude awakening when judgment day does come.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right.
And you know what's crazy? This is the same pastors that bring out Malachi 3 and 8.
Right.
They always did
Malachi?
The same thing. Because mm-hmm. I mean, you know what? These pastors now these days, they don't come out, but they are motivational speakers. That's what they are.
Yep.
Right.
They're motivational speakers, where the scriptures speak about that itching ear. That's what they do.
They all teach the same. Like mm-hmm. they had like the certain way they talk and pause at certain yep. at certain times after they say something, like to get like a point across, right? Like right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And making those the mega churches and stuff where they got you. I remember when I was in the world and I went to a I was speaking about the other day.
You went to a mega church, bro?
It was big for me.
Which one?
It was CCV.
Did you get the Holy Ghost?
No, these guys, I'm telling you.
Did he start jumping?
I said this. These guys had, they had the Jesus there.
What do you mean
the Jesus?
The guy that
played the Passion of the Christ, he interviewed them. Yo, that church was so packed. They had people like Kurt Warner and his wife. They had actors and stuff. There he is. Put it up. This what's the homie?
Oh,
what's the homie's name?
Not too low.
Mel Gibson.
No, not Mel. Gibson.
It was Jim something.
Yeah, he was there. He was there. This church had a Starbucks in there.
What?
This church don't mess around.
Hey, yeah, take that down. We don't want to see the.
They
devil.
Had gyms. Yeah, the prisoners.
They had Starbucks in there, bro.
They had gyms in there. They had, bro. These guys had money.
What?
They had
churches with some Starbucks in them, bro.
Bro,
Starbucks is everywhere.
Yeah, they have their own Starbucks, bro.
It's like, yo. What?
Their own Starbucks. Yo, they have like a whole. I mean, this thing was like,
I think I've seen one with a bookstore before.
And I don't know.
That one's common.
Put up images of Hillsong.
They have a church up in North Phoenix, right? It's like a whole plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a church, but then right next door, it's like the Bible bookstore.
Mm-hmm. And it's entertaining. It's entertaining. Put images of Hillsong, like on the concerts. So Hillsong, click on that one, that big one in there.
So that's the one
the
you bit
stadium.
To?
Yeah, so Hillsong,
No, go down.
They're from Australia.
Right
there. Australia. So their concerts were like this.
Right click.
Their service, their worship service were like this. The lasers, the music. You go in there and you're like, wow, these guys went all out.
Yes, that.
And this is not just one time. They had a Saturday night service. They had a three Sunday services. So this is going on, and they had people filled up. So this is the closest that I got to, and I've never seen anything like that unless it's like a revival. Because you know what, back in the world, I was in Christianity. You know what I mean? I was in that mess, following these lies and following these doctrines and believing these. And there was a feel good teaching stuff.
Yo, this looks like a rave concert, bro.
Yeah, that's how it was every time. The lasers,
yo.
They had the fog
come
machine.
Come home, man.
Like I mean, you know what I mean?
And I'm saying it because I've been to a rave concert, bro, in the world. So this is looks like nothing different, bro.
Yo, and you know, it gets you all emotional and stuff, and they get you to get that tithe. And these people, guess what? They live in I live in the parking lot. These weren't people, broke people. These people had money.
Damn.
They were either they were in a business trucks or they were in very nice luxury cars. So these people had money. So you can imagine what kind of tithing they were doing, money where they're giving. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So these things were, this is a big corporation.
All right.
A big money making deal on things. You know, so
damn, bro.
Go to Malachi.
Malachi 3.
The book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings.
There it is. They stop right there and they
close the book.
Have you been robbing? And then you start thinking like, no, I've never gave a tithe. I never gave offering. Mm. Yeah, you get guilty and stuff. Like, dang. And they always get you right, income tax season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get you around Christmas, right? They get you around
stimulus check time.
Stimmy, remember the pastors were asking for their stimmy?
Yes.
They were asking for their
stimmy.
They were like, hey, bring their stimmy, bro. Hey, we know you got money. Run the pockets.
Did y'all get your stimmy? Because God has blessed you. And if you haven't gave your tithes, God is going to take that away from you.
Yeah, and the pastor would be pushing that 20%, right?
Bro.
So they're like, you're not even asking for the 10, he's asking for the 20?
Mm-hmm.
20%. 20%.
And some pastors just put the guilt in it. Like, you know what? I'm not going to be asking you for no 10%, no 20%. I'm going to ask what your heart says.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So then you're over there like, dang, man. I'm trying to get in the kingdom, you know?
He said, yeah, well, he is the messenger of God, right?
Yeah.
He's teaching me the way into the heaven because I am trying to get to heaven, and he requires this of me. All right, let me do this.
He says tricks with your mind. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read.
Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 7, bring ye all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive.
So then they start saying stuff like, if you don't bring your money, guess what? Nothing's gonna be poured out for heaven for you.
Mm-hmm. This is your season.
Well, this is your season. There's another verse where they're talking about your bosom, inside your bosom, overflow.
You talking about Psalms?
Yeah, the Psalms.
Yeah.
They always bring these scriptures out, right? But not knowing, going back to what tithing is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can we get Genesis 17:11 to see what that is? Because what does it mean? I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. So the Lord, these pastors, if you don't know the Bible, these pastors believe in to tell you, look, if you don't give your 10%, you are robbing God, right? And guess what? God is not going to open the windows of heaven to you. And guess what? If you you want that blessing from God, because like it says here, there shall be no room to receive it. There's going to be an abundance. This is your season. Give 20 and you will receive 2,000. Give 10 and you will receive 1,000. What they say, give 100 and you're going to receive 10,000. This is your season, amen. Did I sound like him? You think I can become a pimp?
Yeah.
Give me that.
The book of Genesis, chapter...
You got too much of an accent, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's something about
white ethnic, bro.
It's not
Can I be a Northern Kingdom pimp?
Too much white ethnic, bro.
Yeah. Can I be a...
You can be a pastor or a pastor.
Okay, I'll praise. That's a pimp. Making money. Read that.
The book of Genesis, chapter 7 and verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up,
mm-hmm.
and the window of heaven were opened.
Come on.
And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
So the windows of heaven is rain. And what is he talking about? Go back to Malachi chapter 3. What is he talking about, rain? Well, do we want rain in these days? He's talking about crops, for your crops to be watered. For your fields to be watered with rain. How do you think our currency was before? How do you think we exchanged for money before? Because, yes, there was money before. But nowadays, I don't have crops. I don't have fields. Well, guess what? This is talking about the Levitical priesthood. And Officer Issachar is going to go into that. But this is talking about at that time, the Levites were robbing God because and our people were robbing God because we weren't giving our crops. We weren't giving that 10% of that our fields, our first, increase,
yeah.
Right? So God's saying, I'm not going to open up the windows of heaven. I'm not going to make it rain, and your crops are not going to grow. I'm going to give you an example. And during the Aztec Empire, there was a famine. That's why the Aztecs were sacrificing humans.
Mm-hmm.
There was a famine. So guess what? There was no crops. Did they have exchange? Did they have money? Yes. Was there food? No. So what they started doing, they started sacrificing unto the sun, unto a serpent, a dragon, what have you, right? But there was still, God wasn't opening up the windows of heaven. He said, y'all going to suffer. Y'all ain't going to have no rain. So that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about that God is going to open up the windows of heaven and bring down a Lamborghini to your front door.
I'm glad you brought that up because they're doing the same thing now. What the whole signification of people going to church on Sunday is worshiping up the sun. It's the same thing that's going today. What do? You give that tithing.
Exactly.
It's that same lie being brought up from the dead.
Mm.
The book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, mm-hmm. that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
So that's what it's talking about. So that's bring ye all the tithes. We're going to go into what the tithes in that time, in the Old Testament, before Christ came in, before the New Covenant, what that was, what the requirement for tithing was. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I know you got a video about a storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. So that's what it's going into. And I saw a sister saying, it reminds me of Apocalipto. That's exactly what it's going into. Mm-hmm. Whether, what is it, Jaguar Paul, I think his name was?
Yeah.
He's running. They let him escape, and he escapes, and then he goes over. Just quick nice side note. When he goes over and he escapes, and there's bodies dead everywhere, and then after that, there's crops. Those crops are spoiled. Those crops are dried up. That's what that's going into. So the windows of heaven is talking about rain for your crops to grow. Read your Bibles. Study your Bibles, brothers and sisters, especially those out in the world. Go ahead.
Hey, can you read Malachi 3 and 10 again?
The book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. All
right, give me 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse 27, right? Mm-hmm. So in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thy house, right? So a lot of times, you know, a lot of modern-day Christian pastors, they say the storehouse is the church, right? Or even like, you know, they say that's money. Right, but the scripture says something different, right? Because the scripture in Malachi 3 and 10 says that there may be meat in my house, which is proving that it was talking about food, right? So get that 2 Chronicles chapter 32. This is a precept y'all can use.
The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 28. Storehouses also for the increase of corn.
Wait, store what?
Storehouses also for the increase of corn.
So storehouses were what? Storage for what? Increase of what?
Corn and wine and oil and stalls for all manner of beasts.
So that's what storehouses is, all right? So we can go back to Malachi chapter 3.
That's right.
And coats for flocks. Book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
Go ahead. You going to explain tithes?
Yeah, we're going to tithe. Because every time we go out or we're talking to people about tithes and stuff like that, they get offended. And, of course, I've had people say, well, this is what I had somebody one time say to me. Well, the message can only go as far as you fund it. But what kind of message is being preached? Because guess what? These churches, these so-called churches, Esau's churches, they go out in mission teams, missionaries. They go out to different parts of the world preaching this gospel. I should say, their gospel, a different gospel according to, against the Bible, because they're not preaching the things to get back the nation of Israel, to get the Israelites back in unity. They're not preaching that the black Hispanics and the Americans are the biblical Israelites and that we got to keep the commandments. They're preaching white man Jesus, that he loves everybody and he's going to come back for everybody.
Mm.
And that guess what? We got to forgive the slavery. We got to forgive those things. We got to forget those things. That's what they're preaching.
Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek. Give me Deuteronomy 14 and that's 22. We're going to explain what tithing is and see if it's still in effect, because that's how these pastors are getting rich off your money, rich off your money. But you know what? Put up, before we do that, go ahead and put up
the video about the storehouse?
No, the 15 most paid net worth of these pastors, you know what I mean? So go ahead and read a little bit.
You want me to read Deuteronomy?
No, right here. Just read a little bit of this.
Top 15 richest pastors in America and their net worth, 2022. One of the most meticulous jobs in the body of Christ is pastoring a church. Pastors devote their time and energy to assisting the congregation. They also work on their physical, emotional, and financial development. As a result, pastors are now among the wealthiest persons in the world. Some of these richest pastors in America are not ashamed to flaunt their fortunes, attracting more followers in their churches.
The reason why they flaunt all these things a lot of times and they show all these things, because they preach a prosperity doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
They preach that, guess what? If you're on God's side, the God of this Christianity world, you're going to be blessed like me.
Get rich scheme, whatever.
Right, the get rich scheme, yeah. It's like a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
A pyramid, that's what it is. It's a pyramid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what are the Jehovah's Witnesses doing? They're getting other people to come in and buy into this too.
Right.
So what are they doing when they go out to people's house? Same thing.
Have you been baptized?
This man right here got demons on him.
Oh, yeah.
To the 10th degree.
Kenneth Copeland?
The wind of God.
Man.
Don't you see how? Yes. Yeah, and you know what?
Yo, this guy is funny as hell, bro.
And you know, this guy, you got to understand this, Kenneth
Copeland. Go down.
This Kenneth Copeland, he is also a mentor, too. He actually mentors Clifford Dollar and a lot of other pastors. You got to know. Guess what? These pastors that also have deep pockets, they didn't learn off a YouTube page. They learned off of firsthand of these other pastors and how to do preach the same gospel, how to move their money. You know what I mean? Because these guys also, they're making money with their money. They have a lot of investments. They have a lot of stuff, and they got it by lying,
mm-hmm.
Lying in these churches and preaching this false gospel. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You got Pat Robinson. This is the guy that from he is in the 2020. Remember, he's always saying, "Is that what it is? 2020? No." Yeah, it's 2020.
I don't know, bro. You know all these Christian pastors, bro. You know all the Christian pastors, and you know all the Christian churches, bro.
You don't remember him when he said he also – they asked – yeah.
No, I don't remember.
Well, no. They had a small clip about him telling the truth. Somebody had a question about Christmas, and he said the origin of Christmas is pagan.
Oh.
And he was saying it straight up. Yeah, it's pagan, but it's become, and he's still got a Christmas tree in the back, and yada, yada, yada.
Oh, that was him next to his wife, I think, at that time.
Yeah, with the big hair. They've been around for a while, bro. Yeah.
And then you got my boy, Joel Osteen. What's up?
In the hood, bro. We didn't have no cable all the time,
hey,
bro.
What's up with Texas? A lot of these pastors are in Texas.
Oh, that's the Bible Belt, man. You know, everything's big in Texas. They got to have it. Joel Osteen, it says right there. He's in Texas. He has the old stadium of the Houston Rockets.
This is my boy Joel Osteen, that when there was a hurricane, he let his car get in. It was flooded everywhere.
Yeah, they put him on the spot.
He and he didn't let the people in. Huh? So this is your pastor. This is your who you follow, that when there's a hurricane and the houses, the streets is flooded up to like your knees, up to your hip waist, mm-hmm. right? Your house is gone. This is your boy right here that's not going to let you into his stadium.
Well, he said the doors were unlocked or something.
He says, I don't know. I don't remember, but it was big, bro. It's like
a BS excuse he had.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy, too? Those who know the little backstory of him, he didn't go to ministry. He didn't do all those things. His dad was a pastor, and he was actually from the film crew. And his dad wasn't there that day, so they said, hey, get up there and teach because we need somebody up there. And he just started doing it, and guess what? I guess, you know, the money got good, and he just said, you know what, let's make it happen.
He said, pimpin', baby, pimpin'. See, he knows all the pastors in the history and where they live and social security number.
I look, bro.
He knows all the history.
You know what? I did, back in the world,
Christian boy.
When I didn't have cable, guess what I watched? I put on TVN.
Oh, man.
He said, but God, and then you would listen to that the whole night, huh?
But you know, I would listen. I guess I got fed up with it and say, you know what, this is BS, you know.
Benny Hinn,
he's very 80s, late 80s, very, very important, because I'm the oldest guy here too, you know what I mean? I know who these guys are.
But look at this, 60 million, 100 million, 300 million, like, bro, this is millions. Mm-hmm. Like, 1 million is enough to change your life around, like going back to talking about the lottery, right? You look at the lottery, it's at 1 billion. You have the other ones, 500 million, but then you got the smaller ones, 500,000, 800,000, 1 million, $55,000, right? Bro, everybody's trying to get to the tippy top, bro, but this is, I think about this, it's like, bro, that's too much. Like, what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Even $55,000, we can't have like that out of nowhere. And our people are like, no, I want the big money. I want to be up there. I want to be Jay-Z type of thing.
You can't
bro.
Even get a you can't even get a rap album. Hey, you can't even get a stimmy without doing something stupid. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, exactly.
Come on, man. You get a stimmy, you don't know how to act.
Exactly.
You over there buying
give
bottles.
Me not too much.
Yeah.
Much.
Right. You know exactly. I mean? You get stimmies and our people were doing, oh, let's get the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, right.
Let's get the new Jays.
Right. And then were you behind the bills?
Right.
Come on.
We had brothers in the truth. Hey, I'm behind rent. What happened to your stimmy? See, what had happened was.
Yeah. Come on.
The devil ticked me, brother.
Right.
No.
You got some new Jays in your feet.
Right. The hell is this?
And this guy, I don't know. He came out of nowhere. I guess he maybe.
He's new.
He got Facebook famous. I don't know. Or,
he's the one that started scribbling. He X'd out a scripture, Bishop Nathaniel did.
With that Sharpie?
Yep, he did a, Bishop Nathaniel did a shout out Tuesday.
Yeah, if he's doing that much, he's going to go places in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and scroll down. You know, the worse you get, the better you get in this world, you know?
Ah, you got our people.
Yep, there it is.
Atlanta.
The ATL right there, 500,000.
500,000.
There's more people than that. John Higgy, he's from San Antonio. Yeah, Texas money right there. That one's 5 million.
Man,
he's more. And take note, this is the network is higher than this. A lot of this network is wrong because they got money invested in things.
Mm-hmm.
They have oil rigs. They have invested in houses, properties. They don't buy these properties just to buy them. They buy them to invest them. They do these things. They have the jets. They travel and stuff. There you go. Another one using the name as a bishop, right? Go down.
Noel Jones. Yep. 5 million.
5 million. They're more network.
Yo, there's actors on movies that are not even worth this much.
Oh, Paula White.
That's your homegirl right there.
Yeah.
Huh? How much? She's 5 million.
I mean, 56 years old.
Nah, I don't think she's 5 million. She should be more, bro, because she's the one. She was a. Trump.
Yeah.
That was Trump's witch. That was fortune
special
teller.
Advisor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, this is who George Tracy Meyer, a.k.a. Batman. I mean, Joker. Like Joker, bro. That from Nicholson. Oh, Franklin Graham. He's Billy Graham's son. Billy. You don't know who Billy Graham is?
We don't know these brothers.
Wow. You haven't know who Billy Graham is? Look, right there. Founder Billy Graham. Let me tell you something about Billy Graham. Billy Graham is huge in the 70s, 80s, a little bit of the 90s, but he's very huge. He would go around the world, stadium full of people, and he would always have an altar call at the end. Always have a culture.
Altar what?
Altar call.
What the hell is that?
Ultra call. Ultra call.
Yeah.
So when they at the end of the service, they would call you if you want to accept Jesus in your heart.
Right.
Come up here and pray. And then sing in the background. They'd see the Come As You Are. Mm-hmm. That's where they got the Come As You Are. That he would sing that song, Come As You Are. So he would come up there, and then that's a false.
That's
thing
when
of
they
salvation.
Go into like a stage, and then they kneel down and then cry, and then. Pass out.
That brother had a voice. I mean, you hear him, you're like, dang, that brother. If you know that Billy Graham, bro, his son took his footsteps.
Go down.
Go ahead.
TJ.
Oh, there he is. My brother in years. Brother's Igbo. That brother's Igbo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For his Igbo tribe, you know what I mean? 20 million. Cashing that money, bro. Don't forget, these brothers are the ones that are selling you the little handkerchiefs and the oils and Jesse Duplantis. There's another brother. What happened to his picture?
It doesn't show.
It didn't show him, huh?
No.
That's the guy that glory to God.
Bro, they all like 70, 80
years
old.
Yeah, but they've been in this
the
thing
bucket.
For a while. They ain't new pimps, bro. These ain't got new pimps. There's another guy. There's a couple of prophets you guys that are missing too that speak a lot.
He has 1 million followers. You got 1 million followers. You made it, bro.
Yep.
You start making money.
That's it.
Creflo.
There he is.
Talking about tithing. This is the brother that confessed. He said, "I've been doing something wrong."
Yo, get this. Yo, if I did something wrong and I wanted to to forgiveness, to what am I going to do? I'm going to give you back my tithes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you your tithes back. If I was money.
He got $27 million. He's not giving that
bro.
Back.
Bro, come on.
He don't even know where to start.
They keep records of that, too.
Yeah.
What people gave and all that. They keep records of that.
I'm just saying, bro.
Hey, you know what's crazy,
yeah,
too?
Do.
Him admitting that, you know, of course, you know, a lot of people would get bamboozled by that.
Switch
you know,
camera.
You know, him admitting that. But if you think about it, out of all things he can admit, why admit the tithing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not admit that Christ was a black man, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why admit those things? And if you actually watch his whole sermon, he talks about tithing, right? You know, it's 10%, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he ends up going later on and saying that when you offer more than what you can. Give more.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually saying that give more than the 10%.
Oh, snap. So he's not saying I've been stopped tithing.
If you watch some more later on in that sermon that he did, he mentioned, like, give more.
Wow.
He wants the people to give more.
Yeah, there's always a trick behind it, bro. They still want money. At the end of the day, they want money. That's why they always kind of push that thing at 10%, and then people give barely the 10%, but your 10% is guess what? It ain't paying that $1 million chain. That's why, guess what? I want that $1 million chain tithing. So guess what? I'll give you 10%.
That's why he's not going to tell you. That's why he's not going to tell you that Christ.
That's
I mean,
heavy.
You're going to lose everybody in the audience.
That's what uh-huh. you. That's heavy that Officer Sorrell said that, because out of everything, why tithing? People are already too, their heads are too way up into this guy's behind, right? That anything he's, well, all right, if you don't give tithings, right? Brothers and sisters got excited. They're like, yes, the kingdom come, that will be done. We're almost there. 12,000 of each time. We're almost sealed. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters are happy, bro. Creflo Dollar repenting. There's something behind this, bro. To the point where, why did he say Christ is black?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start there. He doesn't have to say we're the Israelites. Why didn't he say, you know what? Christ is black. He looks like us, brothers and sisters. But no, because he has other money schemes.
Yeah. And this guy right here, he came in to pimp. I'm telling you, he came in to pimp in the pulpit. I tell you how. His name is not Dollar. His birth name is not Dollar. He put that name on himself. Because you know what? He came in for that money. I'm telling you. He wasn't born a Kipo Dollar. You know? Go ahead and go down. Jesus.
Pimping made easy.
Go down.
That's the same guy we saw about earlier.
42 years old. Young cat making money.
Yep.
Benny?
We saw that.
Like Elon?
He looks like
no, him. He's Israeli-American, so he might be... He might be Ishmael.
That's it. The other one's Joel Osteen, and then...
Yeah, Joel Osteen making that good money.
That's your homie right there. That's all your homies, bro.
Yeah, bro.
That's my homie right there.
Hey, bro, you said this? What?
He said, coronavirus.
Right.
And then people are still dying.
Yeah, this brother was talking about, it was cussing out coronavirus, bro.
I curse you.
What did one pastor say?
Yo, the other guys around him were making fun of him, bro.
And he's the one that said, you know what? You bring that money. You bring that money envelope. You go to stop at the church and you put it under there. You get that money to the church somehow.
Don't stop. He said, you send it through email. You send it through the envelope. You PayPal it. You send that money. You do not stop giving tithes,
bro.
Even though
find that video, because they're gonna think we lying. This brother right here was upset at coronavirus.
Yeah.
He was hella mad. He was hella mad at coronavirus. He did not, bro. I'm telling you, man. These pastors were heated because that's probably what the brother's probably doing that jewelry fraud, because he you know his pockets are thin, you know. He wanted to get the 2023 on order, a new Tesla or something. I don't know.
No, they don't go for Tesla, bro. They don't go for Tesla.
We'll exercise.
Go ahead.
Did he find it?
Yeah, put it on there.
Hey, while your brothers and sisters, as we wait for this video, make sure you like, share, and subscribe to IUIC Phoenix on YouTube, also IUIC Phoenix on Facebook, and the Power Hour on Facebook, the Power Hour page on Facebook, all right? Go ahead. Whenever y'all ready.
We'll exercise judgment right now.
Because we
in
have...
In the name of Jesus!
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hey, that was active. ready for the show. Come back and turn it up a little more.
Hey, listen to the other dude. He just went along with it.
Bro.
He got cut out. He said he was about to say something. Okay, let's do that. All right.
The Holy Ghost move.
Go ahead.
We'll exercise judgment right now.
Because we
in
have...
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19. I execute judgment on you, Satan, you destroyer, you killer, you get out, you break your power, you get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand.
Home, like, really, like, yes.
A vaccination to come immediately.
Yes. Oh.
I call you gone. You come down from your place of authority, destroyer. You come down and you crawl on your belly like God commanded you when he put his foot on your head in the garden.
Wow. You coronavirus were destroyed in the Garden of Eden.
Through COVID-19.
For the biggest
prophecy. No more.
No more.
It
no more.
Is finished.
Finished.
It is over.
It's still here.
And the United States of America is healed.
All right, hey, this is not it. This is not it.
It's not.
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay, send it to you.
Hey, or go and search in Kenneth Copeland, Don't Stop Tithing in This Crisis. That one.
Don't Stop Tithing, okay.
That one. All right?
Yeah, I remember he was preaching on this thing because everybody was online and stuff. Because they were going big on that, on the online stuff and trying to make the money somehow. And get people to start... Continue tithing and stuff,
right?
You know, especially they had a real good message on Stimmy Week. When that stimmies were hitting, that's when they say, you know what, hey, this is your time.
This is your season, even more.
Right,
right. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Really. All right. Make sure the sound is good. Turn it up a little.
Hey, everybody. So first we had Paula White taking advantage of this current day situation. We have Kenneth Copeland.
Right.
Anger and wrath will be just.
the fear of what are we going to do? I'm getting laid off at work. Hey, your job's not your source. If it is, you're in trouble. Jesus is your source. Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing. Don't you stop sowing offerings. Well, they won't let us go to church. Well, email it in there, text and give or something, but you get your tithe in that church. If you have to go take it down there and drop it off and unstick it under the door or something, you get that tithe in that church, you get that offering in that church, and then you go home and you do what we're supposed to do.
Come on, man.
I gotta pay bills, all right?
He said, "Where am my ish?" And then take care of your ish. That's what he said. Telling you, these are the pastors of America that preach this nonsense. I'm telling you, this is a very, very dangerous thing that our people defend these men, and they swear up and down that these are the men of God. Mm-hmm. Preaching the gospel in the last days, but they're not.
Yes.
I don't care what you do. You give that tithe, and then you go home, all right, and do whatever we got to do. But you do what you got to do.
Give me the tithing right. Let's just go ahead and mention the tithing right quick, because before I go any further, because y'all got to understand, these tithes, they got to be put to death. I'm telling you, when I was a Christian, I tithed because it was a thing to do and things that I saw growing up.
Did you ever tithe because you felt bad?
No, I tithe. Bro, I tithe regularly.
I did, bro. Like, the plate was passing around and
no,
the ladies were next
no,
to
you,
me.
No, you got to understand.
And I was like, oh, dang, I feel bad.
Tithing is 10% of your check. So when my check came in, boom, 10%, there you go.
No.
All the time.
You do too? You did that too?
No, I actually read the Bible at one point. I knew it was vegetables and all that.
Are they? Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Before
like,
the truth?
Damn. Yeah. I heard about it.
The brother's cheaper than me.
Right.
He said, oh, shit. Nah, it's
bro, I actually gave like one penny one day, and the deacon looked at me crazy when I had gave one penny. Yeah.
No, I went, when I go to church, and then I remember like people sitting next to me.
What was right? The next day you came to IUIC or what day? What penny?
No, this was like years ago. When I was younger.
Yeah, bro.
When I was younger, I had actually read the...
And did they ever ask you or anything?
I actually asked the pastor, and he said, no, that's not true. It's still money.
Wow. Mm.
When I brought the scriptures out about the Deuteronomy 14.
Oh, see, your eyes. This brother was waking up.
Mm.
Glory to God.
Wow. No, I would feel bad because everybody around me would get money, and I said, okay, I don't want to be like the cheap one. I don't want to be the cheap one, and then they're going to look at me like, you ain't giving? So I just... put a little something there. Nah. Bro, they'd pass that two, three times, bro. I'd be like, God damn.
Come on, man.
I'll go and get some food after this.
I know,
now,
bro,
and that's it.
How the hell am I getting broke just sitting here, man? What the heck?
For real.
Deuteronomy 14 and 22. Let me see what tithing is in the Bible according to the Bible.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14 and verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed.
This is 10% of your seed. Okay, go ahead.
That the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always.
So you got to understand, at this time we had something called the sacrificial law. We are doing sacrifices for our sins. So the men that were doing these were the Levitical priests, and they were not inherited any land. So pretty much we took care of them. That 10% went for them to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
So why does it say it's showing you the seeds? What did it say also? The firstlings, said the flocks, the herds, the oil, the corn, the wine, because if you work in that industry, if you grew corn or you were making wine or you were a carpenter or whatever you did, you gave 10% of that. You get 10% to take care of the Levitical priest.
All right.
Okay. Go ahead and read.
Verse 24. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there.
So let's say you had a goat. And guess what? Oh, man, these goats aren't going to last. I had to travel over mountains and hills and valleys and just to get to the goats there. Half of them are going to die.
I'm in Arizona. I got to travel to
Jerusalem.
Alabama.
Oh,
Alabama.
Right, this is Jerusalem, but just to bring it into modern day, right? I got to go and take my herds, my flock, right? My horses. I got sheep. I got cows.
So it's saying here, if it's too long to go, what? Go ahead, Reese.
And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money.
Stop. Close the book. See, mm-hmm. Money, brother.
Hey.
Money's in the Bible.
Give me money's in the Bible. There it is, money. No, hold up. Is it turned into money and then what?
And bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household, and the Levite that is within thy gates. Thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee.
So it's showing you that, guess what, it's the same way that you had what you had, you sold it, and when you got to the place, you bought the things that you desired, the wine, the corn, the things that they needed, and guess what, then you gave it to the Levites, right?
And that place was Jerusalem, according to 2 Chronicles 6 and 6.
Bring it over.
Go ahead and read.
Verse 28, at the end of the 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithes of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow within thy gates shall come and shall eat and shall be and be satisfied. And the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest.
So this is tithing. It's always been tithing. So what is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? That's what you got to understand about
right.
these. So at this time, remember, it was a Levitical priest, and what they were doing is they were doing sacrifices unto to the Most High for the sins and Aaron's and the sons of Aaron, which were the Levites. They were doing these sacrifices for what? For the atonement sins for the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you go into the New Testament. Let's go to Hebrews.
Before we go ahead. Can I get another scripture about tithing? Numbers 18 and 20.
Go ahead.
It's going to explain also what we just read, just summing it up.
The book of Numbers, chapter 18 and verse 20. The Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land.
In the promised land, in Jerusalem, or in Israel, you're not going to have land, Levi, go ahead.
Neither shalt thou have any part among them.
Uh-huh.
I am thy part, and thine inheritance among the children of Israel.
Come on.
And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance.
I have given the children of Levi, the tribe of Levi.
All the tenth in Israel.
All the tenth part of whatsoever comes through Israel, the other 11 tribes. Go ahead.
For an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
That's what their purpose was, their service, because they didn't have land, so we took care of them. That's what their service was. That's what the tithing was, the tenth part of Israel. That's what we would give them because they were the middlemen between us and God. Go ahead. Never mind. That was it.
I'll praise this. This is what you got to understand. That when we bring up these things about these pastors that put pimping in the pulpit, if you go back to all these pastors, they're preaching these the tithing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same thing that we always say, that they're cherry pricking the Bible. They're cherry picking the Bible.
Old Testament done away with.
Yeah, it's done away with. But guess what? Tithing. Guess what? Bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that back. We're keeping that. We're keeping that. But guess what? When it comes to the dietary law, when it comes to the civil law, when it comes to the marriage law, all those things, gray area.
I want to say that, too. It's part of social engineering, too,
exactly.
Deacon has been bringing up, too. Because, you know, a lot of people in the Christian church, they don't usually read their Bible, right?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And so they always hear about what the pastor has said, or what are all these other different Christian churches or denominations or religions say, right? So they all come together like in one consent, like we got a tie, right?
Yep.
We got a tie, right? So then now they're thinking that, oh, this is the right thing to do, right? But in reality, this is what tithing is, right?
And when you look at social engineering, and what we're going to, Lord's willing, go into when Deacon comes back is, what's the other one? Social engineering, what's the other one?
Social construct.
Mm-hmm. No, the other one. Agents of socialization. Mm-hmm. And under religion, it tells you how to live. So now, how to serve God is, well, you got to pay a certain amount. And if you don't pay, well, you're not serving God.
Right.
Right. And then it goes into family and all that stuff, all the structures in your different parts of life, work, home, family, religion. So now it's, okay, you want to serve God. Well, we're going to tell you how to serve God. So now everywhere you go, from the east to the west, north to south, anywhere you go, you must give tithing. This has become a social construct. It's
mm-hmm.
been socially engineered that it's a norm. And if
exactly.
you don't give your money, you're out of pocket.
You're
not following God. You're not doing what God said to do to give your tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. One day they're going to be judged for all these things. The Most High is going to come return and judge for these things.
So what they do, they start deceiving, using the word of God deceitfully, and now twisting scriptures.
Right.
Right? So one more point,
go
if
ahead.
I can.
Go ahead.
But you get the, you know, you get that one pastor, you get that one preacher talking about, well, we can't pay this office, or we can't pay this church with a goat. No, you can't. But watch this. Give me 2 Timothy 6. Is it 2 Timothy about, 1 Timothy 4. Go ahead. No,
four,
no,
four
no, no, no. Second Timothy 4. I'm sorry. I'm tripping. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1.
The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1.
Uh-huh.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Perilous times are here. Come on.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Lovers of their own selves. Why? Because they care about their pocket. Bro, what do you do with $1 million, $5 million, $50 million? You love yourself and you don't love your nation. A heavy quote that Bishop Daniel has said is, my plans weren't to build an organization. My plans were to build a nation,
mm-hmm.
to get the people, not to teach them real estate, not to teach them, we do these things at men's conference, teach brothers, get your credit right, you know, get your job, go to school, better
spiritually,
become better brothers, become better men. Become better husbands,
yeah.
Become better wives, sisters, right? Become a better nation. As a race, we're looked down upon. We're frowned upon. Why? Because we lack discipline. We lack God's laws. We're the bottom of the barrel. We're the scorn of every nation under heaven. They think about us. They say our name, and they laugh at us. So it's not about let's make money. You're lover of your own self, and that's what we see with example this preacher. He loves himself. He doesn't love his nation. He's about him, his pockets. Go ahead.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Come on.
Covetous.
You want more. It's never enough.
Boasters.
Come on.
Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents.
They're proud and they're blasphemers. They blaspheme the word of God. Come on. Disobedient to parents.
Unthankful.
They're unthankful.
Unholy.
And they're unholy. I can go on, but that's all I want for now. So, no, you can't buy. You can't pay a light bill with the goat. But enough, bro. You can fix a community with $1 million. You can fix a chameleon with $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't not done so because you're a lover of your own self. That's filthy lucre.
Can we get some real quick?
Go ahead.
Get a 1 Timothy 6, 6 and 3. Because it's heavy on what you just said. I mean, that lovers of their own selves, covetous, the mindset that they have and what they're in, what their focus is.
He says 6?
6 and 3.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not unto wholesome words.
So if any man consent not to what's in the Bible, from what you've learned today, we're learning what tithes is. We've been teaching the truth about what the Bible really teaches. Read.
Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Because Christ wasn't telling people to give 10, 20%. That wasn't the message and what he was teaching. Read.
And to the doctrine, which is according to godliness.
That's what the officer just brought out. That godliness is the behaviors. Become a better husband, a better wife, a better sister, a better brother. That godliness that we need to live in. Read.
He is proud.
He is what?
Proud.
So these men that don't teach these things, he is proud. That's what we just brought out. Read.
Knowing nothing.
They don't know anything. They don't understand how to truly feed your spirit so you can receive eternal salvation. Read.
And doting about questions. And strives of words.
They're focused on arguments and
semantics.
They're playing this, that, and you look at Geno Jennings and you can see that's the strifes of words. Read.
Whereof cometh envy.
It becomes envy. Now they're envious about the teachings that they see coming out of real doctrine. Read.
Strife.
Railings.
Evil surmising.
They surmise about things they don't have true understanding on. Read.
Perverse disputings of men.
Read.
Of corrupt minds.
These men have corrupt minds. The way that they're actually teaching the people is not based on sound doctrine. Their mind is already corrupted based on their covetousness. Read.
And destitute of the truth.
They do not have God's laws within their mind, within their spirit. Read.
Supposing that gain.
That what?
That gain.
They suppose that gain. Read.
Is godliness.
They think that them getting that money, being able to have the Lamborghini, these nice clothes, that's godliness. But that is not what the Bible teaches. Read.
So real estate classes is not from God?
That is not from God. I mean, you can. There's nothing wrong with the.
Will they get to the kingdom of heaven?
It's
yes
not,
or no?
It's not going to get you where you need
okay,
to go.
Okay, bro. Come on, man.
That teaches.
They're not
right.
Yeah.
It's right.
Because I'm not going to say, I mean, it's okay to be a realtor.
You.
Yeah, but
I
at the same
you.
Time, it's not the focus on what we feed the flock.
Exactly.
What's that last part?
From such, withdraw thyself.
The Bible says from such, those that are caught up in covetousness, that are chasing that money, it says turn thyself away. Don't go after that.
Yes, sir. What's the main goal? The main goal real estate and the come up, or is the main goal the kingdom of heaven? Right. And that's what we're brothers and sisters.
We're trying to get a real estate in the kingdom of heaven. We get to get that real mansion.
Right. We get to get that real mansion where he says, my father has many mansions, bro.
Yeah. Go back to what we had in 2 Timothy 3.
Yes, sir.
Right, 2 Timothy 3. Where did you leave off?
Verse 3.
Go ahead.
We read up to verse 4.
Oh, read 4?
No,
I'm sorry. We read
up to verse 3.
Go ahead and read where we left off.
The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good.
Remember, Daniel said that the knowledge shall increase at the end. And this is what he's talking about, too. He's talking about these things that are going to come to pass. Right, Reed?
Verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
That's the high-minded pastor that we always do. They know. They think they know it all. They just say, I've been ministry. Who are y'all? The guy's coming over here telling me what to do. What did that Jesus say? That he gonna pin you down with the biblical scripture.
Yeah. You know what scripture is going to come with. I put your feet in the fire.
Yeah. Come on. Go ahead, Reed.
Read that part again. The lovers.
The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away.
Okay. Jump to 7, because I want that 7 right there.
Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Always learning about something but never coming to the truth. What is the truth? What the knowledge of the truth is. In Malachi 2 and 7, this is what they should be teaching. This is what preach. This is how we know that these pastors, so-called pastors and bishops, ministers, or whatever you want to call them, they are not preaching what the Bible is talking about, because this is what they should have in their mouth. Read.
The book of Malachi, chapter 2 and verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
You want to call yourself a messenger, you're going to be preaching the laws. These laws are going to come out your mouth, and you're going to start teaching to your congregation, and that, more importantly, you're going to be practicing yourself. That's what we're here for. But these pastors are not going to do it. They're going to give you all these feel-good messages. They're going to give you your 40 days of purpose. They're going to give you your best, what do they call it, the best life?
Living my best life.
Living their best life. Joel, he had two books that were number one.
That's the song right there. He was
somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. He had another one.
I don't know, but no, Joel.
Live your best life.
See?
Now.
See? We don't know. No, we don't know, bro. Oh, we weren't heavy into Christian.
I know, but we talked about it.
We weren't heavy into the Christian drug like you, bro.
These books came out of the truth. You know what I mean? he had two of them. They're New York bestsellers and stuff.
New York bestsellers?
Yeah.
Damn.
Now you see them in Goodwill's been everywhere, all across America.
Wow.
But, you know.
Did you call the 1-800 number and said, I want the Joel Osteen book?
I want the Joel Osteen book.
Was it in every commercial in the 1990s?
No. This,
did you
this,
call?
This is the early 2000s.
Well, did you call?
Because I remember when we had some Bible studies that we did the 40 Day of Purpose. That was somebody else. 40 Day of Purpose, somebody else. That's something Warner or something like that. Anyways, you know what I mean?
See? He knows all. Yeah. All sister God, praise the Most High for repentance.
Hey, all praises, man. I'm telling you. Because you know what, too? Get this.
You know all the books?
All those books.
All the names?
All those books that came out,
all the churches,
during the time, they translated them in Spanish.
They did. This.
You go to a Spanish Bible bookstore, guess what? The Northern Kingdom of Israel is getting those lies just as much as the Northern Southern Kingdom, right? It had to come here to America first so it can, you know, get taught all over the world. Because guess what? We both have to be oppressed together. That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
You know? Do you have another video up there?
You got that one about the storehouse. What is a storehouse in Malachi 3?
No. We got some articles, too, about black churches.
Yeah, go ahead.
The black churches?
Do the articles. Do the articles.
Go back. Go to the other one. That one.
Yeah.
Full screen.
Wow. That's some money. That's the old seats right there, right?
I'm not sure.
That's the stadium right there, bro.
See? Even old seats. this crazy with no Southern churches. Look, bro.
That's a stadium right there, bro. That's wow. Houston Rockets stadium right there.
Yo, what do you do when you're, like, way in the back trying to look at this guy? Like,
bro,
this
they got
little...
big screen TVs. Just like the Texas Stadium, they got the big screen TV.
Oh, wow.
Got the flag in the back.
Yeah, bro.
For real. Go ahead. Read that thing.
Where am I reading?
The title.
Black churches have collected $420 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Can you read? It's hard to see it.
Lofty's research shows that black churches in aggregate have collected more than $420 billion in tithes and donations since 1980.
Mm. Hey, that would have put us on the map, bro.
With the Senate investigation into the finances of several mega churches underway, Faraday Movement has been a target of mounting criticism from inside and outside the black church.
They told you what it is. It's a prosperity movement, bro. It's not about keeping God's commandments.
Hey, you ain't getting that money back, bro.
Mm. Nope.
Specifically, the affluent ministries of the Reverend Creflo Dollar, Bishop Eddie Long.
Oh, he died. That's a homie that died.
And others have drawn the attention and ear of some clergy and lay people alike. Research, Henry E. Felder's study of blacks' donation habits demonstrated per capita spending of $508 per year in 2009. Another source, Tyler Media Services, estimated that black church revenue approached $17 billion in 2006.
Damn.
One church, the Reverend Dollar's World Changers, reported $69 million in 2006 income, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Big money, big money. He won the lottery every year, bro.
Mainstream politicians and black community leaders are demanding a better accounting of the return on investment offered by churches to the communities that fund them. Meanwhile, legions of faithful churchgoers defend their pastors and accuse their detractors of applying a double standard that ignores the largesse of wealthy white televangelists while underplaying the economic development and social service functions provided by the black church. The church has gotten caught up in materialism and greed, a lifestyle. Many ministers today want to live like celebrities, and they want to be treated like celebrities. In other words, instead of the church standing with the community, the church has become self-serving.
The hell is this?
It has strayed away from its mission, according to Dr. Love, Henry Wachell, professor of church history at the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta.
Real quick.
What you got?
I did the math. So 80 to right now is 42 years divided by $420 billion.
$10
billion? That's $10 billion a year, bro.
Billions.
A year, bro. $10 billion. And the black, Hispanic and community, we ain't got nothing, bro.
That's more than the NFL.
Yo.
That's more than the NFL making, bro. Mm. Wow.
But we still cursed in this city. Yo, what? You're still cursed in the city. Atlanta, everywhere, Phoenix.
Somebody getting the money.
Somewhere, right?
Pastors.
Right. Yo, there's still hoods in America. In every city, there's still hoods, bro.
They don't get taxed, right?
No tax. Tax-free.
It's 501.
501c3, bro.
C3.
All day. Yeah.
See? But like we read, it says the churchgoers defend their pastors, but they come against us because, you know what, we don't take Israel United in Christ doesn't take money from the government, right? But your pastor takes your money and doesn't get taxed, but you get taxed every year, and then plus your pastor tells you it's tax season, brother, it's your season.
Yeah, you see the fruit, the work of what IOIC is doing. You see that the leadership is going across country now. You see it.
Going across country, we're blitzing everywhere we go, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we want to change. It's not about prosperity for us. It's about the mindset of our people. We're fighting for the minds of our people to change the minds of our people. Stop being hood. Stop being ratchet. Stop being drunkards. Stop being gangbangers. Stop selling drugs. Let's build a nation. People watch Black Panther, And it's like, no, man, I see someone on the big screen that looks like me, man. That's what's up. But guess what, man? You're giving your money to the pastors. They're the real pimps. They're the real, the ones that are taking the money.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we put our mindset and change our mindset, then worry about money? What you got? Sorry.
No, I was going to say, give 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and 2. Because it said that they, where was it at? Scroll up a little bit. It said self-serving. The church has become self-serving. It has strayed away from its mission. We know the mission was corrupt from get because it wasn't teaching God's laws.
Right.
But go ahead and read 1 Peter 5 and 2.
The book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2. Feed the flock of God.
Start at verse 1.
Verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort.
Now, get verse 1?
Yeah, read verse 1.
The elders which are among you, I exhort.
Read.
Who am also an elder.
So this is elders speaking, right? And he's exhorting another elder. Read.
And a witness of the suffering of Christ.
Read.
And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
So this is elders of the church. And this is the mindset or counsel that was given. Read.
From an elder to elders.
Elder to elders. Right. Read.
Feed the flock of God.
It said feed the flock of God. We need to feed the flock with something that they can actually be able to nourish spiritually. Read.
Which is among you.
Read.
Taking oversight thereof.
Taking the oversight thereof. What these pastors are supposed to be doing is looking out for the people. But for some reason, they've been, it's not that they haven't had the money. We just, what was it, $420
billion? Billion.
They had the resources to be able to guide the people.
That's just Judah. That's just Judah. That's Think about Northern Kingdom.
Yo, there's okay. Northern
Kingdom. We throw y'all in there.
Where the bombs at?
No, for
yeah,
real.
That's heavy. That's heavy.
That's true.
So, and that's just one tribe. $420 billion over a span of 40 years. So it's not that they lack the resources, but you see that our conditions have gotten worse. The money has not been short, but now we have more people on drugs now than ever. We have more people that are single-parent households. A lot of our kids are growing up without an education, no food in the home. But the money has been given to the churches to be there to support the community. So there's a lack. There's a disconnect. So it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you. Read.
Which is among you, taking the oversight thereof.
They should have been looking after. This is what a true elder or those that are looking over the flock of God are going to do. They're going to take the oversight thereof. Read.
Not by constraint.
Not being forced to do it. Not out of something that they don't want to do. Read.
But willingly.
But willingly. Read.
They don't have that willing spirit.
Right.
Not for filthy lucre.
Not to gain. Because we've been showing things the whole radio show. It's all for filthy lucre. It's all to gain money. It's all to be able to rock the nice shoes, the have the nice car, to be able to have these things, to be able to show off in this world. Read.
But of a ready mind.
And we know that they don't have a ready mind. We came to Geno Jennings' church, and we asked him. He actually asked us about the debate, but we came to him. He did not have a ready mind. He knew he wasn't prepared because the prophets of God were at his front door, and he did not have an answer to give for why he was teaching what he's been teaching. So that this is the mindset that a true elder of the church is going to have.
Yeah, for definitely. Like I said, there's a consequence for everything that they're going to be doing. Yeah, Jeremiah 23.
Yes,
one,
sir.
Go with what you were just saying. Y'all got to understand that guess what? The time is going to be in for these pastors when their message becomes crumbled through when the real gospel comes out and the understanding comes out, they're
right.
going to be crumbled. They don't know how to do. They're going to be red in the face. You know what I mean? They're going to try to gather their congregants because they're going to leave this church.
Right.
Right? Read.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy.
Destruction for these pastors that what?
That destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture.
Because the whole entire goal of this scripture is to unite the children of Israel.
That's right.
Read.
Verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord.
The division has, because you say, well, we're not in division. All my church, my whole family goes to church together. We sit in the same pew. Actually, it unites us. No, there's a division in your mind from the Lord.
Right.
There's a false sense of understanding that you are good with God. right? When another man tells you that you're good, don't worry about it. You ain't got to worry about that Old Testament.
Right.
You ain't got to worry about the dietary law. You don't have to worry about the color of Christ. He's a spirit. You don't have to worry about the 12 tribes. We're all saved under Christ.
Mm.
Those things right there, there's a division in you between you and your creator. Read.
Verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed.
These are the prophets coming back on the earth, teaching the true gospel. These are the IUIC coming back into the streets in these last days. We're going to read.
Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. You want verse 5?
Yeah. What'd you read up to?
That was verse 4.
Okay, read 3 again.
Verse 3. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them.
Because we're going to be what? Scattered. We read earlier in Deuteronomy 28:64, we're going to be scattered all over the world, right? Everywhere, right? Read.
Yes, sir.
And will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase.
Okay, read.
And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord.
There's a spiritual hunger in Israel that's been going on for years and years. There is a false band-aid covering that hunger that we've had spiritually,
mm-hmm.
because of in slavery, because we have broken God's commandments. We've been years and years without the true gospel, the understanding of the Bible. But when we go out and we teach that the biblical Israelites are the black Hispanics and Americans, are the biblical Israelites, and they got to keep God's commandments, then guess what? We start to rebuild. We start to bring them back to the understanding and bring them back to the real gospel.
That's right. Can I get a scripture?
Go ahead.
Let me get 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, right? Because then, all right, y'all haters, this pastor, you know, he has true followers, and they love him. And you know what? It's not tithing. It's donations because they love him. Y'all hate him because he has money. And if you were in his seat, you'd be doing the same thing. Well, guess what? Was the apostles doing this? That's what, read your Bibles. Yeah. Was the apostles teaching for hire? Was the apostles saying, hey, we were salt. We walked with Christ. We were with Christ. We saw visions. We saw all these miracles. Y'all want to learn? Well, give me some of that money. Did they do that? Watch this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6.
The book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6.
Come on.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly.
Put this in mind. Let's see what kind of brothers walk disorderly and what brothers and men that you have to withdraw yourself. It's going to give you the examples of what men to be aware of. Go ahead.
And after not after the traditions which he received of us.
Come on.
For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you.
So Paul's saying we didn't behave ourselves disorderly among you. Come on.
Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught.
Guess what? We didn't have to eat your bread. We had our own bread, bro. Come on.
But wrought with labor and travail night and day.
We worked for our own bread night and day because our leaders have jobs. We have jobs. Go ahead.
That we might not be chargeable to any of you.
Because guess what? You ain't got to tell me, hey, well, I fed you. Paul didn't say, hey, well, I fed you. Now you got to pay me back. He didn't say, I wasn't chargeable to none of you. Go ahead.
Not because we have not power.
Because we can't work.
But to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us.
To make a what?
To make ourselves an example unto you to follow us.
Because if we work, we need y'all brothers to work. Because we are an example to you brothers, men and women.
That's heavy.
Pastors should be an example to your followers. If they work, you must work.
Real quick, read verse 9 for me.
Verse 9, not because ye have not power.
Not because we have not power. Paul was saying not because they don't have the power to take the money from the church. Not because they didn't make $420 billion. They have the power to do these things. Just because they have the power, read.
But to make ourselves an example unto unto you to follow us.
It's the same thing we read in 1 Peter 5. They were leading by example. They weren't lording over the flock and trying to gain money. They weren't treating it as a business that just was never ending.
Right. It wasn't a business. It wasn't a business. They said, we work for our bread. We went to work. Paul, Peter, John, Matthew, they all work. Luke, they all work. Go ahead.
You want verse 10?
Verse 10.
Verse 10. For even when we were with you.
When we visited you, when we were in church with you. Go ahead.
This we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
If you don't work, you won't eat.
So that means that they all had jobs on top of
they
what they
had
did for the
jobs, yeah. Bro. That's why he said in verse 9, we were an example to you. Right. If you didn't eat, because guess what? We are working. They had jobs. Paul was a tent maker. Luke was a physician, right? They went to school, bro. They had jobs.
They didn't get to a point where they retired and just stopped the church.
They didn't say, we saw the Lord Christ. They didn't say, what's her name? Dorcas died. Oh, come heal Dorcas. She's dead. Well, they didn't say, if you want me to touch her with the Holy Ghost, holy touch of the Holy Ghost, you got to give me 10 grand, bro. They didn't say that thing, bro. They didn't say that, bro. But these lying pastors get asking for money to hear motivational speakers. Yeah. Yet the people are still dead mentally, physically, and spiritually. Go ahead.
Let me get 2 Corinthians 2:17. To back up what you just said, to pretty much back up what you had said.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God.
So us, IRC, we're not as everybody else. We're not going to corrupt the word of God. We're going to come straight out of this Bible, right? Mm. All these other pastors, they corrupting the word of God, telling you what tithes is, 10% and all that. They corrupting you. They taking all your money from you, Reed.
But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ.
We speak in Christ. We follow after Christ's work. We're going to follow this Bible straight through. This is what we do, right? Like the example you just brought up,
right?
How we work, and we still doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Full-time.
Yeah,
full-time
jobs.
Full-time
jobs. Got two jobs.
Right.
Three jobs.
And we still yeah. What?
Hold we still go out there, flyer mission. Those flyers is out of our own money.
Right.
Those flyers is out of our own money. The traveling is out of our own money. For what?
Right.
Because we it's not for us. We look for a nation. We look for the rebuilding, the reviving of a nation, a race, not a church, not a building, not a business. It's for a nation, a nation that has been despised, that has been trodden down for years and years. We're rebuilding a nation of kings and priests.
Can you get a Sirach 33:17? Like you said, it's for a nation, right? We're not work. We don't just work the one job, the 8-hour job, full time job, the two jobs. A lot of us work two jobs. Plus, we do the flyer missions camp. We do the traveling, all these other things. We're not doing that just to stay busy. That's one aspect. But go ahead and read
the book of Sirach, chapter 33:17. Consider that I labored not for myself only.
We're not laboring for ourselves only. We don't just do this for us. It's just like what we read earlier in the article. They're doing it to serve themselves.
They want
to
be like famous celebrities.
Right. Yeah. They're doing these things for themselves, right?
But for all them that seek learning.
We do this work, we do this labor because it's to provide for those that still have not been able to receive that opportunity to repent. We endure these things for the elect's sake. We're trying to endure and labor so that the elect may be sealed.
Their kingdom is here. They want this is their kingdom here.
Right.
They don't want the kingdom with Christ and God the Father. Their kingdom is here. This is their kingdom. They don't want the real kingdom. Officer Scar, you had something. Yeah. You had said something.
I had this video right here because you know what's funny? This is an old '90s movie, but this is the same thing that was going on. And a lot of these movies that make fun of stuff in there, it's the truth. A lot of it's the truth.
What's the saying when something a stereotype is often true?
Yeah, and this right here, this movie right here, a lot of times what's his name? One of the Wayne brothers, like Zacchaeus. He comes out of the nowhere and he says, message. Because they're delivering a message in the movie, and you got to catch it to be woke. All right, but this is a pastor, pretty much pastor. 6'3" Impala. Go ahead, Bush play.
Now I realize that every now and again, some of you women folk, you get hot, and you get bothered, and every now and again, you get hot and bothered. But what I want you to do when you get that hot and you need a little relief, I want you to. Call me.
Hey, stop. We skipped that one, but we should have read it in Timothy by the bishop. Yeah. The bishop.
One wife,
but he's creeping into
yes.
The silly women, right?
Yes, sir.
Read that right here. Read that. So we don't know what we're talking about. It's the 5 or 6.
Second Timothy. 3.
Where we were at.
Yeah.
I got you.
6.
The book of Second Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 6. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts.
You know, he said, call me. You hot and bothered? You been call me if you want that relief.
Call
you know what
me.
I mean?
He said, hey.
Go ahead and pitch play.
That's that pimping.
Pimping.
Pimping ain't easy.
Go ahead and pitch play.
Don't ask no questions.
Where did you see Gloria?
Who was William? It's his only son. Didn't he do it? Abraham didn't ask. No question.
Thank you, baby.
That's what God expected from his seed here at the Great Ada Ebenezer New Revival Tree of Life Institutional Double Rock on the side of the road to Jericho Missionary Baptist Church tonight. Y'all say Mount Calvary. Y'all don't tell me.
We don't rap. Ain't that the truth?
God expects you to do what the Lord wants you to do. Like those of you who realize that the Lord wants you to give generously to his church.
Amen.
Don't ask no questions. Don't ask how come why come the pastor have to have him a nice car? Why come a pastor got to have a nice car? Don't ask. I said don't ask. I said
don't ask.
No questions. Just give the money. Get the collection plate right on that side. Nigga, get it around on that side. We gonna now have a B selection from the choir.
Bro, that's how it be, man.
That's
and then they catch the spirit and start dancing around, bro. They start dancing around, and guess what? Oh, we got the spirit today. The pastor was lit. And guess what? When you get emotional and everything, what do you start doing? You start putting that money in the face thing. You can be broke. Broke.
Yo, that's funny. There was this Edomite on TikTok talking about, I was the most spiritual man in the pulpit. I was in the choir. I was in the drums. You couldn't tell me nothing. I got the Holy Ghost 50 times. He said, but when I got home, I didn't have the fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, prince, all that. He said, what I had got was a taste of culture and spiritualism. He said, but when I got home, I didn't have the fruits of the spirit. So if you got the same thing, guess what? God didn't touch you. All you was, it was emotions and a touch of culture. I was like, damn, he ain't wrong, bro. He was Esau, but he ain't wrong, bro.
Nigga, get the plate.
Bring it around that.
Yes, bro.
Hey, all praise.
Yeah, we got about 90 seconds. I had another video, and I'll get it next time, probably, or if y'all want to look it up. It's Thompson? The Umar Thompson, the brother that
Umar,
that's right, Umar.
Umar
Johnson. Thompson.
Johnson.
Thompson.
Is it?
Right. I'm jacking all his name up. Anyways, that brother right there, he's activist, I guess. But he had one point where he was, and your grandma was giving money to the church.
Not grandma.
Yeah, grandma was giving the church, and guess what? What they did, they put that same money. The church goes to the very next day, put in the bank, that very same bank that denied her a house in the same ghetto.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So, gosh, we destroyed our house. You know what I mean? There it is right there, Dr. Umar Johnson, Black Churches Ground Zero.
Documentary, okay.
So
we're not going to play it right
now. Yeah, we'll go right. by 10 seconds. With that, we say shalom. We are Israel United in Christ, and this is Power Hour Plus. Officer Izakar, Officer
Zerah,
Officer Shia,
Officer Tobias.
And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
Southern Kingdom, Kwanya Sharala. Hey, one nation, one nation. This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza. We one nation, one nation. This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwanya Sharala. Hey, one nation, one nation. This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza. We one nation, one nation. It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we Mexicans. We ain't got
hey, stop the stream. Once you stop the stream,
and we've been kings since birth.
Can you hear me right?
The kingdom first. And they gonna get
yeah, we can hear you.
All right, stop the stream and then play this video. So we're up this car once more.
Okay.
Few in numbers, but we over the people.
Stop the music too. As long as you stop the stream.
Stop playing. You emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot's on the throne of the ego. Their tongues will confess that we the people.
Mark Thompson. No, he was saying like Obar.
All right, go ahead. We can't hear. You got to put on your headphones. Go ahead, play. No, no. Oh, you guys have disconnected.
Without me.
Even though they was no good.
Go back.
But you do get something for your money.
Rewind.
But when you put your money in the wings for that money, even though they was no good, but you do get something for your money. But when you put your money in the church bucket, what do you get back? Hope in a future after you die. And my position on that, if I have to die to experience heaven, I don't need that religion. Mm. Anyone who tells me that I should be content with accepting hell on earth when the white man has his heaven here and the Chinese man has his heaven here and the Arab and East Indian has his heaven here and they're even building their heaven.